Williams versus the Village of San Jose. Mr. Berner?
Yes.
Your Honor,
before you get paid, would you tell me where the Village of San Jose is as it relates to Pekin?
A relation about 10 miles south of Pekin.
What's the population?
About 650.
Thank you.
Your Honor, the court, as I come before you, at this point in the proceedings, frankly, the case is about the procedure used by the trial judge in the bankruptcy court. It's a case where the trial judge denied the village constitutional due process of law and a fair trial. It's a case where the judge decided the case, which involved a question of intent, fraudulent intent, as soon as the case was filed, or our objection to discharge was filed, and he states that on the record. This is a case involving 727A2A of the Bankruptcy Code, which in essence says, as you probably know, that if a debtor with intent to defraud, delay, or hinder conveys property within a year prior to filing bankruptcy, he's denied a discharge. It's that simple. It doesn't matter if after he files bankruptcy, he reconveys the property. There are cases on that. But my point is this. It's a question of intent. It's a mixed question of fact and law that you just can't decide by looking at the objection on file. And that's what the judge did. He also stated his own personal policy regarding the law, and he was incorrect. He didn't conduct a hearing. He didn't conduct a hearing in a meaningful way at a meaningful time as required by law, and he was certainly not neutral and detached. And the village had a right and has a right to fair trial, due process, a neutral and detached judge who hears the case in a meaningful manner. Now, I brought some exhibits because I just wanted to highlight. This is the trial transcript. I hope you can see it.
Sure.
I walked into court.
Is this in your brief?
Yes, it is. It's part of the trial transcript, which is attached to the brief. I walked into court. The judge took his position.
Which there was court no are you talking about?
Pardon?
The district court or the bankruptcy court?
Bankruptcy court. That's where the case was set for hearing. The judge took his seat. He didn't call for opening statements. As soon as he came in, he said, "I, judge, have talked to you, Mr. Berner, about this in the pretrial. Talked to you about on other occasions. I am not going to deny their discharge under 727A2. As I said, it's a matter of intent," and he makes that decision. Now, earlier, at a motion to dismiss, the judge admitted, although he was high-strung towards me, admitted that we stated a claim under 727 as a matter of law, that we had the elements necessary to state a claim. He went further. "I am not going to deny their discharge under 727A. It's been my policy, and I think it's good law, that if the bankrupt filed a petition that says I made those transfers and the trustee said they're invalid, correct that, I'm not going to deny the discharge. The bankrupt made no attempt to conceal anything to this court or to the bankruptcy trustee." That's the purpose of 727, in my opinion. You can pull out a number of cases, Mr. Berner, I don't care what they say. And that's how he said it. And I had never met this judge before. I had never been before him before.
So he wasn't mad at you for any particular reason?
No,
he just
didn't
like that the operation of that particular section of the code.
Right.
Well, there you are. Life is like that. And you didn't have a chance to change his mind.
I didn't have a chance.
What do you get, supposing the discharge were denied? What do you stand? What does the village stand to gain?
Well, the village had it took almost $30,000 to demolish the building.
Mm-hmm.
And
they got the two lots, didn't they?
The four lots.
Four lots. They got
correct.
Them all.
They got the four lots.
What else would they get if the discharge were denied?
Well, they'd have a judgment for the balance.
Yeah, but what good would it do?
Well, we feel it would. And we feel also that...
There's additional assets that are floating around someplace?
Might well be.
You don't know, though?
No.
Okay. I was just wondering whether this is an exercise in principle or whether you really have
well,
the money.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because it is an exercise in principle. When the judge had the phone conference for the motion to dismiss, and he got on the phone, he said, "Mr. Berner, I'm not going to grant that. Why did you file it?"
Yeah.
I thought, and I told the city council that we didn't have a fair trial, and that if you don't stand up and say we're entitled to a fair trial, the message is sent that you can be intimidated and you can lose your right to fair trial. So I'm here not so much because of the defendants. I'm here because we were denied our constitutional right. And then he has, on the record, he states, "You, Mr. Berner, are not going to convince me to change my mind on this denial of discharge. I have told you that from the day you filed it." If that isn't a prejudgment of a case, I don't know what is.
That isn't a challenge, I don't know what is.
Well, the mayor said about that time, Don, I would have crawled under the table.
There's the town is a, what form of government does the city have, or the village? Or?
We have a trustee form of government.
How many trustees?
Six.
600 people? Six trustees? That's a democracy in action, I think.
Yeah.
Everybody shows up for the town meeting, I suppose.
It depends on the...
On the issue.
On the issue. That's right. And that's how it went. So I felt like I had to show an offer of proof. I asked him to take judicial notice of the record. I asked Mrs. McWilliams to take the stand, which she did, and I made a prima facie case. As the court knows, under this section, they were then required to rebut it, and there was no rebuttal. And he decided the case. Now, when he wrote the opinion, he knew it had to conform to Section 727, so he wrote the opinion not on this policy, but on 727, and frankly then tried to take that record and tried to, frankly, manipulate it to make a written opinion. It was clearly prejudged. The second thing I wanted to show the court very quickly, I wouldn't be here if we didn't have a good case under 727. Why would I? I'd say I wouldn't even file it, obviously. But this is a chronology that's part of the brief. We filed a petition to demolish. The defendants obtained an estimate of repair. They knew about what it would cost. The building was demolished. Then they transferred the four properties to their grandchildren. But what they did is they held the deeds. They recorded them so it looked to the world like they had been, in fact, transferred. But they didn't tell their grandchildren. They didn't tell the parents of the grandchildren. And they had no history of gift giving.
It's going to be a first time, I suppose.
Pardon?
I suppose there's got to be a first time for gift giving. Yes,
and it was within 8 days of the building when they knew the judgment would be coming. Now, just before the building was demolished, Mrs.
Vic Williams talked to the mayor and got an estimate between $20,000 and $30,000 to demolish it. And it actually was demolished at that point without additional expense.
You have less than a minute left, including rebuttal, in case you want to save a nickel for it.
Okay.
I just wanted to show the chronology events to show the court that we had a strong case, a case we could have proven, in my humble opinion. And we are here on a matter of principle, a matter of constitutional principle. And I think the message should be sent from this court down to that court. And when people go into court, a trial court in this Seventh Circuit, that there should be entitled to be heard. There should be fair play, which is the essence of due process. A ruling before you hear any evidence is the antithesis of due process.
Thank you. Thanks, Vernon. Ms.
McGlynn? I don't have any...
That's all right. I'm a little nervous, too, but go ahead.
I don't have any one to quote or any authorities. I don't feel I should be punished for what if the judge did something wrong, for one thing. I went in there, told the truth. Mr. Berner seems to be able to read my mind that I'm... committed fraud. I did this. When we conveyed the lot to our grandchildren, there was only a lien on the one lot, which is my understanding that they didn't have any claim on the other lots. And when we did not have an estimate before, as he says we did, you know, when the judge found for them in Savannah, you know, that they had a case. Well, I asked the judge, I said, can we hire our own person to tear down the building? He said, you would have to talk to the city about that. They have control. When I asked Mr. Berner in the parking lot, he says, I can't talk to you because I don't understand why I couldn't talk to him, but they couldn't, you know. And every time I would ask them a question, I wouldn't get a straight answer. And as far as him saying we got an estimate of what, talking to the mayor, that was after there was like two buildings, which he didn't tell you that, but it's in the brief. They tore down the one building. They had only one court order for one building. It was our understanding that the other building, because it had stood with four walls, a roof, and alone, that this building wasn't going to be torn down. Well, my husband was out of town because his father was ill for the week, and they left a note. I was at work. My husband was out of town. They left a note on the door when no one was home that the existing building was going to be demolished within 24 hours, that we had to get our stuff out of there. This was the day after the other building was torn down. There was no way I could do that. My husband's disabled, and 24 hours when we had all of our restaurant equipment, beauty shop equipment, and this building was supposed to have been dangerous to anyone to enter, needing to be torn down. But yet they let the whole town go in there and take our stuff, not considering that that stuff could have been sold and money gotten from that. They just let them take it. But my husband was allowed to go across this mine that the police held him back. So they broke a lock on the building.
Did you hire a lawyer to file the bankruptcy proceedings?
Yes, I did. We spent over $3,000 on attorney fees. Keep getting taken back to court. I don't have any more money.
Yeah. Did you talk to the lawyer before you drafted those conveyances, or who prepared the conveyances to your grandchildren?
We just went down to the courthouse and did it.
Just went down, got your own deed and
you
told
mean
them out.
And gave them to the grandchildren, right?
Yeah, but I recall, who filled them out?
We did. We didn't talk
to you didn't talk to the lawyer beforehand?
No. But when we filed the bankruptcy, we did disclose this. We didn't try to hide it, because I thought it was a matter of public record when you transferred deeds. I didn't give them to my children or my grandchildren because they're irresponsible. I still have their divorce papers, marriage license, kids' birth certificates in my filing cabinet. I don't. My children move from place to place. They're grown ups, but they just don't have any value of anything.
I see.
And, you know, I just don't really know why I'm here because I don't have any money. I don't have any hidden assets. I work six jobs to make ends meet. And
well, while you're up here, you might look around Chicago and see if you like the area.
No, I don't like big cities. I'm always been from a small town.
Well, I hope you get back before the snow shall fall in.
Me too. I can tell you, I don't like to get into things over my head. I know that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ms. McLean. The case is taken under advisement, and I think your time has expired, Ms. Verner. Is there something you feel the court would have to... You have 30 seconds if you need to... All right.
As the court knows, I'm really not here to argue the merits of the case.
I understand.
But I do have to... I beg to differ with Mrs. McWilliams. On page 21 of my brief, it shows that she discussed the cost of the demolition, and she knew that.
I think what she said was she didn't get an estimate. Somebody else got it and told her about it.
No, she did get an estimate. Her and her husband on their deposition indicated they got an estimate.
Which of $15,000?
Actually, $48,000. It's on...
$48,000 to tear it down the building?
Do a partial demolition and a partial repair.
Oh, so it's renovation in addition to the...
In addition to the demolition. Oh. And then another, about the same time, another contractor said the cost would be prohibitive. And then before the demolition, the mayor and her discussed, and that's on page 21. I just wanted to clarify that.
I thought I knew that. I had read that.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, we had to go to a contested hearing. We presented evidence at great cost. We had to have structural engineers in, and at trial there was no one else. The defendant didn't present any evidence. So it wasn't like all of a sudden we just didn't talk to them.
Thank you. Thanks to everyone in the case, and we'll proceed to take that case under advisement and move on to the